I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast. I'm Stephen Goldsmith and I am joined tonight for our post-match crack with some lads who made the trip down to West London, all of them, individually as well, I may add, trying to outdo each other on the point, on the away points and on the lads' points. Gareth Barker, Rory Fallow and Matthew Keelan. Who wins on that? Who drank lager the earliest on Saturday? What was the earliest time?
I had one on the train about 9 o'clock.
Ooh, 9 o'clock, good start, good strong start.
Start drinking about 11. So
that's poor for an away day, Matthew.
And then I got
you'd be expected to do that. You was expected to be going for 11 o'clock on a home day.
Night before, I would argue. For me, it was night before.
Doesn't really count that hard, does
unless
it?
Unless you didn't sleep.
Yeah,
continue. Yeah, had a good sleep.
That would be applauded if you'd just done it all night.
Good night's sleep it was as well.
And what time did you get on the morning?
See,
that means Rory. That means you win. He doesn't want to come.
Yeah. I got the train back and had cans on the way back as well.
Way
back cans.
And did you give anybody abuse on the train? Extra lads points.
Was weirdly quiet on the train back actually, unless we were just in like the Radjis were like somewhere else. But you want it like you don't want to be next.
You paid
to them.
More for the quiet carriage, didn't you?
No. There was a couple of like Sunderland fans we had like a bit crack with next to us, but knee Radjis, knee one kicking off.
Ordered two kebabs, ate 40 chicken nuggets, 4 double cheeseburgers, and a McChicken sandwich.
Between how many people?
Two.
The tremor in your voice there.
Unnecessary, isn't it?
Well, it wasn't my fault. Basically, I went to get the kebabs. My mate was like, I need to get 20 chicken nuggets for my wife. And he went.
So it was three.
I get back, and then he's got all of the food from McDonald's. And then we got in, and his lass was like, I didn't want any chicken nuggets. So he just wanted chicken nuggets. He was too ashamed in front of Matthew, who we just met, to admit that he wanted.
What's his threshold for meeting someone until he gets on the chicken nuggets? Like?
I don't know. I don't know. He was drunk at the time. I've seen him do worse things. Once I ordered pizzas up Cellino's, I think it was, and he went to get money out and came back with a sausage casserole from the baker's oven. So that was quite good as well.
Yeah, that's quite commendable. That
it was. Yeah. On the way, he must have been. He was starving, so he just fell out of a sausage casserole as well on the way back. He's not even like a big lad, either.
I was going to say, does he put? He sounds like you put some food away.
You know him. You've met him.
Oh, have I?
Yeah, but I'm not going. Lee, hello, Lee. Oh, yes, he won't be listening to this. Yeah. Can't be bothered.
No, none of our mates listen to that. No. Our markets and definitely not our friends or family.
No,
on
not
this.
Really. I saw your brother was down at the weekend, though.
I know. He gets. He's another one who does alright for somebody without points. on his season ticket. Yeah. Beg, steal or borrow.
Yeah.
To be fair, he's went round Europe watching England without a ticket and stuff and like 20 quid in his back pocket and he manages to go and
Blag
do all this
people.
Stuff. Basically, yeah. I'm not suggesting you did that, by the way.
No, I didn't. Legitimate me. Anyway, shall we do
I don't think anybody
football?
Would doubt that you weren't legit, Gareth.
I'm pure legit me.
Well, now we've cleared up that
guy. Yeah. I had something even worse to eat last night, which I've shared with these.
Oh, don't go there. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Right.
Break the Twitter.
It was actually pretty
there was
good.
There was a game of football on the weekend, and Sunderland were winning 3-1 at half-time, and I think there's not a Sunderland fan in the world who didn't wonder at that point or didn't say to somebody at that point, I wonder how they're going to manage to screw this one up. And they did, to an extent. They didn't lose the game, but they drew the game. Very disappointing overall.
was one of those.
Second half, anyway. I don't want to say overall, because the first half you couldn't say it was disappointing.
Lots of cliches written through it, and then the first
one. Go on, throw some cliches now, listeners' ears.
Felt like a defeat. There's your first one. It did feel like a defeat at the end, because you know when they got the free kick start the second half, I was watching thinking, yeah, like if we get, it just felt as though we need to get past that moment.
Yeah.
Don't let them in here.
Get to the hour to throw in another cliche.
Yeah, and you know, obviously stuck it in the corner, and then we're going, everyone's sort of going around the keeper again. It's a keeper's side, like basic. I mean, he was only about 22 yards out, so if he puts it over the wall in the top corner, again, as the cliche goes, you go hold your hands up and say, fair enough, well done. But when it's around the wall and he's taking a step to his right as well, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, he's taken up a position like really far to the left of the goal anyway, so it's not like he stood centrally, because often you see keepers when it's quite close to the goal, they'll stand in the middle of the goal. Mm-hmm. But he stood quite near his far post, or near post, I don't know which one it would be on the
air post.
not the one near where the free kick was. And yeah, he decided to take a step towards the middle of the goal, and then after that, he was one step away, and if he'd dove from where he took his position and took that extra step the other way, he would have saved it.
Yeah, it's not like it was particularly like powerful.
It was
like
a reasonable strike, wasn't it? But it wasn't like
Kieran Richardson against Newcastle.
He shouldn't be beaten like near, like isn't on his side, should he?
Is there more blame to go around, or do we pile all this onto the keeper?
Well,
somebody who should have maybe done a little bit better for a goal. I mean, you were all at the game, so
I think Grayson's got the shoulder quite a bit. You know,
for his game management at 3-1?
Yeah, we come out that second half, and it was just like he told them to stop doing everything that they'd done well in the first half. We weren't playing brilliantly in the first half. You know, we scored with all of our shots on target, one of which was, I mean, we're talking about Steele's goalkeeper now. Like, that Oviedo goal was much worse. Not that I would praise Steele for Bentley being slightly worse than him, but, you know, how easy do we want a team to make it for us? We score with our three shots on target. They make a massive mistake for that second goal. They give us a penalty, and we're looking all right. We're getting in their faces. We're pressing on quite well. You know, players like Watmore running with the ball really well. Grabbing was like buzzing about the front line. And then it was just like Grayson said to them, right, just stop doing that. Drop deeper and just let them come at you. Mm. And that's everything we weren't
doing.
Instead
of fighting fire with fire. And I've got something to say on that, actually, because you mentioned Bentley, the keeper, there. And I don't know if people have saw this, but he was interviewed after the game. Now, hey, what we think of this. We knew we weren't going to take Sunderland lightly, despite their league position. I think the league table can lie a little bit at this stage of the season. Lewis Grabban is a good player. He was difficult to handle all afternoon. He's clever. He jumps early with centre-halves, with balls over the top, and he's always on the shoulder looking to get in behind. He had a presence and caused us some issues. They also had Watmore and McManaman as thorns in our side. I felt we did well on the whole to nullify them, apart from that short, bad spell we had. Those guys stood out for them. How long did McManaman have on the pitch?
25 minutes.
So he stood out significantly to an opposition player. He's named out of three players. So does that not prove the point, or highlight the point, what Rory was getting at there? It just reinforces that, why not just do the same again and fight fire with fire? Instead of inviting teams onto you, especially somebody who likes the ball. I can understand it to an extent, because you might think, right, we can hit them on the counter now because they've got to push. They've got to try and push. But there's a balance, isn't there?
I mean, he could have, if he wanted to do, I guess he could have taken Honeyman off and brought McManaman on, if you wanted to be a bit more aggressive, and then maybe put McGeady in the middle.
Yeah.
Or in the middle.
Was fair,
or then he could take, and then when you wouldn't need to take Watmore off, he could have brought Gooch on and put him in that sort of in behind his sort of a second striker.
It'd be McGeady in the middle for me, in the players he played, where he played Honeyman, to get McManaman in the side.
I thought, like, Honeyman, it's going to sound harsh, because he does, I think, with being fair to Honeyman, and I know he's a young player and he's come through the academy, but I thought he was really poor at the weekend. Like, he didn't do anything, just ran around, couldn't get into the game. I think the big problem, I think, is the midfield, the three, whoever they are. I think Ndong did well in his defensive duties. I thought he harried people and he won the ball back. Got used his body well. He does that quite well, gets in front of people when they've sort of pushed the ball too far in front and whips it away from them. But his use of the ball was poor. Cattermole, again, we're talking in the pub before the match. In this division, midfielders just swarm him. People just swarm him. And the first goal, 5 minutes into the game. If we're talking about it in the pub, then they're talking about it all week in training, and they're talking about it in the dressing room before the game, and they're talking about what they're going to do when he gets a ball early in the game. And that's exactly what they did. And some might say it was a foul, but...
I don't think it was a foul.
I think he's just a bit weak, and he goes on, he lows over looking for it.
But you just wonder, like, what is it that's keeping him in the side? Is Grayson just so determined to have some perceived experience in there, you know, with a lot of young players? Like,
he's not an attack-minded manager, clearly.
Well, no, he's not, but he's not an attack-minded manager, but he can't organise a defence, really. So he's got to, you know, management is all about growing and development. All, I know Grayson obviously isn't one of the best managers in the world, but that is what all the best managers do. They don't necessarily stick to the same philosophy. They expand it and they redevelop it with, because obviously trends now in football go out of date so quickly, even in the Championship, which is pretty basic league. Grayson can't just stick to this ideal of, oh, we need to be really tight, because we're not. We clearly can't do it.
He didn't even imply before the game. He actually come out and said, maybe it's time to revisit the Cattermole and Dong partnership, but only at home. He said that, didn't he?
But why?
Like, I read that somewhere. So he's suggesting he wants to be more cautious. Wants to be more cautious on the road. I mean, the Bristol City game, you know, we'll debate later on in the week anyway. But I'm sure he said that. So should there be a difference home and away?
No, not in this division. Like, away to Brentford, it's hardly like you're going to Chelsea or Man United or Man City or whatever, is it? Like, every game in this division, especially with our first 11, we should be looking at as potentially winnable. They're not always all going to be, but we... I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I don't think really many teams in this division should think like that. Anyone can beat each other in the Championship. It's always like that.
There's another one.
Another cliche. We're going to have to name this the Wise Men Say cliche episode. But, you know, that is still the case, isn't it? It's a cliche because it's true. We should be able to look at every team thinking this potential 3 points.
Well, the first half on Saturday, for all we didn't play particularly brilliantly.
Talk to the microphone, man, Matthew.
All right.
There you go, that's better. Do that.
For all we didn't... probably weren't brilliant, we just looked better than them. And if you look at the team on paper, there's another cliche, the team on paper, it just should be nowhere near sort of having to sit back and hang on at Brentford.
After the game, there was a Brentford fan who was not very happy. I got the impression a few of their fans aren't particularly happy with the manager at the moment. And it's funny because we obviously got a bit of stick off Billy, didn't we, in the week. That was, you know, teams like Brentford, and that wasn't the point we were making, really. I think if Brentford were in the like top six, we'd be talking about it differently. But Brentford 18th, and we're in the bottom three, and we need to win the games to get out of them. We should be trying to win those games, and that's the point. But this fella after the game was actually saying, that's a poor Sunderland team. We should be beating that Sunderland team. And thinking, aye, exactly, because
right.
We're both
down the
bottom.
What do people think of that? Because Daniel Bentley there, some quotes from him, the Brentford goalkeeper who said the league table can lie a little bit at this stage of the season. He's sort of indicating that Sunderland are maybe better than their league position suggests. The manager you've just referenced there, Dean Smith, didn't see it like that at all. We gave them 3 goals, but we came out with a point which shows character. But I'm still disappointed with the poor decisions and mistakes we made during the game. I just think we were poor in our decisions. Even though we came back from 3-1 down, it wasn't a vintage performance from us. I feel if we were anywhere near on it, we would win that game. So he doesn't think much of Sunderland, does he?
I was a bit surprised. I was expecting
anywhere
to see
near on it.
Well, they weren't, because they didn't do all the things that we expected. They didn't hold on to the ball very well. Mm-hmm. We expect them to have felt as though they'd have like comfortably have a lot of possession, and we'd be kind of maybe sort of bank, like sort of two banks of four or bank of four, bank of five, you know, trying to nick the ball away, press it at the right time or whatever, but they never really had sustained spells of possession. They were quite expansive at times. They kept on trying to hit, it was a Joseph Toon, as he called, kept on trying to get him in, sort of get the wide players involved. They were quite direct, I thought.
Yeah.
With the way they were playing, not in that they were using like a centre forward, but more they were trying to get the ball wide really quickly and get the wingers going at the full backs. I think Oviedo did really well defensively. I thought, you know, he didn't have a lot of help from McGeady at times. That's not really part of McGeady's game, and no. He can kind of trade that off a bit because of what he comes up with at the other end. But he handled him pretty well. On the other side, is it what is the why drop? Why were dropping Adam Matthews all of a sudden after he's been and then to put Billy Jones back in? He was awful, like horrific, just comical.
I think Matthews has generally been all right. He had a bad sort of spell
against QBR. He didn't do great, did he?
Yeah, but that's one game for him to get dropped. Cattermole's having a terrible season,
and then suddenly he's made two changes in the back fours. Then hasn't he?
Yeah.
Rather than just try and bring, you know, because he brought Cornier back in, so rather than just try and change it slightly, he's made two changes again. 50% of your back four's changed again.
Making random changes again because there was no reason really.
Yeah. You don't need to go and change in your right back for no real reason. Do you?
And you've got to think he's had Watmore down that side, so they're working it that week. Who do you want going beyond Watmore? If Watmore holds it or comes shorter, who do you want going beyond? It's not Billy Jones.
No.
Matthews going to stretch it. They're going to be stretched down that side.
He's shown it quite a bit as well, Matthews. Yeah. Even like, can you remember early on in the Cardiff game where he was like, he took a player on and like, I know Cardiff went up the other end and scored all this. but you know.
Great
still,
example.
Yeah. It wasn't his fault because it went down the other side when they scored. But he is quite good at that. If you look at the goal we scored against QPR came from like a bit of movement down that side as well. So
I generally think he's not
spectacular. He's probably a championship level player, but
he's not done so badly that in recent weeks that Billy Jones deserves to go straight back in at right back.
Yeah.
Who wasn't very good at the start of the season, got dropped, and he's come back in after playing centre back last week, and now I don't know. I mean,
like, I know there's been some injuries. There's been injuries there in defence, which I've got a bit of sympathy with Grayson on, but he's chopped and changed that defence a lot when he hasn't had to, especially with the goalkeepers as well. Like, how... I know, obviously, Steele isn't particularly very good, but how is he supposed to have some confidence when he's already being dropped, then put back in, and his defence in front of him is getting changed every week? Like, you look at teams... Like, obviously, when Leicester won the league and they had that... They didn't have a particularly spectacular back four, but they never had to change it, did they? And they had an understanding. A few seasons ago when Birmingham were doing really well under, I think it was Alex McLeish, and they only had like Roger Johnson and Scott Dann as their centre-halves. But apparently, I think they got them until Christmas or something without ever having to change their back four. Consistency at the back is massive, and we don't just keep changing the numbers, the players there. We keep changing the numbers, experimenting with three at the back, with wing-backs and everything. He does need... Let's say he even does stick with Billy Jones, even if he did that for a few games... I'd at least be like, well, he's given something a chance to blossom into something potentially.
I just don't get it. I mean, he did so many basic things. His use of the ball's terrible. His touch is bad. He doesn't seem to know what's in behind him. The amount of times he kind of glances the ball out for a corner to a ball at the back post to nobody when there's nothing behind him. It's just as...
But again, is that communication? Because no understanding between that back
and
four.
And also, and Steele again, since he's come back in, he's conceded 11 goals in four games.
He's terrible.
I mean, you can't. I mean, it's 11 goals in four games.
It's 11 goals in four games.
That's a lot of
games.
Goals to concede. Even no matter what, like, you know. Fair enough, he was a bit unlucky at Preston. But obviously, it's easy to fall for the goal against QBR. You know, he's at fault for the second goal. On Saturday, and Ipswich. I mean,
just Ipswich. Yeah. Just Ipswich.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, I don't see if he's going to be chopping and changing certain players like Adam Matthews have had a bad 15 minutes. You know, how's he going to handle that situation?
But on that note, the stat we were talking about at the other end of goals in games, and it just kind of further emphasises that we should be putting all the emphasis on attack. Before we came on, we were talking about how Graben now has got 5 goals in 9 games, only one of which is when he came on as sub against QPR, one of which is when he got injured against Forest. Now 5 from 7, that's a really impressive return in a pretty bad side who don't create much either. Like, why aren't, like, so when you've got that player in your side, why are you coming out in the second half and sitting back?
That makes it more frustrating, doesn't it?
Oh, totally. Like, there's. Yeah.
Well, go back to what the keeper said. You're watching, there, and he's highlighting our attacking players and putting them forward as the players who gave them problems.
You're watching Grabbing at the weekend, and to be fair to him, his attitude is quite good, in he doesn't get really frustrated. Like, the amount of like terrible balls that he was given, like where he could have, if he'd given ball to feet, he could turn and go at the defender or play him in behind, and the amount of times he wasted it, and he'd kind of just have a wry smile and like drop back into shape.
Confidence, isn't it? I'll get another chance. I'll hurt them then.
But some people interpret that he's a bit lazy or whatever. But I don't get that.
I think he
knows how to use his energy in a game properly. Yeah. He knows how to manage his game as a striker randomly. Who plays up front on his own. Yeah. A player who, if you're a goalkeeper or a forward, you're not going to be as involved in the game as midfielders and defenders, and you've got to know how to manage that.
Yeah.
And I think he manages that quite well. I think he's quite a clever player. And he's been, as a player who I thought was a bit nonplussed about signing, I think you can see why teams who've gone into the Premier League have taken a chance on him and thought, yeah, he might do us a job, because he's a clever player, and you know that is a positive, what more, very much a positive. They couldn't handle him. We'd obviously worked, to be fair, you could see we'd worked on, rather than playing him through the middle, they decided to play him wide, and he was taking up a space really wide, like right on the touchline, so we had a diagonal out ball every time. You know, and McManam, I thought, was maybe over elaborate on his trying to beat the man at times, but at least he wants to get on the ball and make something happen.
Positive, isn't
he? You know, those are positives. Again, going back to the midfield, I thought the centre backs, you know, maybe O'Shea a bit wobbly for the third goal, but again, Catmull's kind of passing the man on 3 yards from the edge of the box, you know, and in shooting range, why are you passing him on? Why are you putting your hands up and doing your, like, he seems to accompany every midfielder who's coasting towards our goal with a jazz dance every time. Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? Just influence the ball, influence the man. I imagine if you are an attacking player as well, and you've been shepherded by somebody who's running around with his hands up going, I can't put a tackle in. Body language wise, if you're an attacking player, you're going, great.
Yeah. Give me the ball.
I'm just going to go against him every time because he's not going to put a tackle in. And he got booked for mouthing off, I think. It wasn't even a foul, was it?
Yeah.
He got booked for complaining to the ref. But, you know, Gibson could have been on sooner and, you know, maybe changed it that way. I think Ndong has probably done enough to deserve an opportunity alongside somebody else.
Yeah, Ndong was fine on.
Just his use of the ball was poor. You know, maybe Williams in alongside him, someone a bit more energy.
Yeah.
He's injured again on Saturday,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Exactly. Yeah.
So what was the injury with Williams?
Hamstring,
I don't think. It was just
severe.
No, it was just, he was feeling it, wasn't he? But they've got, you know, they've got to sort that midfield out because there's only so much defending centre-backs can do. You're asking them to do, you know, you can clear the ball 15 times, but the 16th time, they're going to get a chance.
It's almost like now when a team comes at us, you just accept they're getting in the final third, don't you? Yeah. That no one's going to come across and stop them.
That's it. The space that attacking players get, because we defend the box quite narrow, which is like, I know that's like quite a trendy thing to do, but like, our fullbacks are quite narrow. But then there's like, when we lose a ball easily in midfield, because we do lose a ball in midfield, and because we sort of almost go to get into an attacking shape, give the ball away, and then they break. Yeah. And that's what happened with the first
you
goal.
You can't defend that narrowly.
You can't.
If your midfield two aren't on their game and aren't patrolling that like perimeter of the box as well and making sure they can't break in.
What happens is, as soon as they give the ball away, the winger's taking up position outside, he's got the ball in space, and then all of a sudden it's like we're recovering all the time. And then when the ball comes in, we're not only recovering, we're trying to defend the ball in, you know, the attacking threats that they've got, and it's just all a bit shapeless because we turn the ball over so quickly and then we don't react quick enough, and it's a massive problem that I would say in the centre-backs are, you know, although there's been individual errors at the centre of defence this season, I would say that's probably the least of our problems because there's too many people in front of them who are letting them down, because I think Coney had a good game. I thought O'Shea had a good game. I know people don't like Corney, but I thought he played well.
So. You wouldn't complain if them two lined up
no,
against Bristol, would you? It's like you say, the midfield is totally the problem, and it's making sure that we're limiting the number of chances coming through. Not even necessarily the number of chances, just the times the opposition are getting near the box. Because the amount of times it looked like Brentford were going to come forward, despite not... Because if we're being honest, it wasn't two good sides, that kind of game. It was two pretty poor sides, which obviously you do get when a lot of goals are scored and you look at the mistakes that were made. But they didn't really have to do much to hurt us. Yes, you can say the third goal was a bit lucky, but we got lucky
when I was second.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Just kind of emphasises, doesn't it? A bit of a daft mistake for them to give us the penalty as well. But it's just nullifying like as much as the chances as the opposition get. Like, we just don't seem able to do it.
And again, like, people talk about, you know, supporters and all that kind of thing and expectation. When they went off at half time, they got a massive, massive roar.
Oh, yeah.
When they were going off.
When they came back out,
And it was like, I don't know how you can come back out and do what we did.
I wonder what he said at half time. What did he say? Grayson, just.
And the contrast, because when we went off, obviously, full time, there was popular people singing, "We want Grayson out." There was a popular people singing, "You're not fit to wear the shirt."
Yeah, it did.
Popular people booing. So
you can understand as well, like, to actually when you've been so bad
devastating,
and you get shown it like that as well, like, here's what you could have, a bit of happiness for once.
Would people prefer Grayson to go down the same route as Dean Smith? Because this is something I was thinking about today, and he's sort of pussyfooting around, isn't he, still? Which you could understand if the players were low on confidence and he's like patting them on the back. He's taking the pressure off them, responsibility off them, saying, oh, you know what, something to build on, we are getting better, of course we need to cut out mistakes, but we're getting there. Now, if the players' confidence was on the collective confidence was on the floor, I could understand that. We'll keep being told it isn't, and the dressing room's fine. Martin Bain, we'll get on to what he's been saying in a little bit. He said he's been speaking to Catamon Lanchier and the players are fine. Mm. So we're hearing it from the players, we're hearing it from the manager, we're hearing it from Bain. So if the dressing room's fine, I want to hear him come out and say that wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
That second half performance wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And we should be able, the players should be able to manage a game better than that.
Yeah, if, them, if,
and,
this,
and if his
the
plan
there
was just to hold on to a 3-1 win, and that come from him, the players might have wanted to go out all attacking and try to get more, and he might have reined it in a bit and said, no, we're gonna see this out. But football players, professional football players, to that standard, should be able to manage that game better. Whatever you think of Grayson, there should be. So why doesn't he come out and say it? And then I want to see them put it right on Saturday. I want to see a reaction from him on Saturday, and I want to see them to give the fans something to cheer about.
I don't like it as well. He's like saying, well, you know, maybe before the game we'd have taken a point. Would you? I don't want to be taking a point against it. We're running out of games again. We're running out of games. We're going to have to get 50 points if we want to stay up. And they can be as blasé about relegation, and it's not a word we're discussing at the moment or whatever, all alike. But
you can't ignore it.
You can't ignore it.
Playing Brentford, who are 4 points ahead of you, and you got to go and win the game,
Who'd you like to win against?
Yeah.
Who would you like to win against? Yeah. And when you're 3-1 up in a game, and also it goes to 3-3, the game's still there to be won.
Yeah, and there's a goalkeeper lying on the ball, wasting time.
Yeah, they never looked like. Even at 3-2, you knew we were never getting a fourth goal.
Taking McGeady off, like, you know, he didn't have his best game.
Well.
Exactly,
yeah.
But you just think he might get on the ball, go at a couple of players and stick one in the top corner.
He could have took that free kick as well, Gooch nearly put it in the Stamford Bridge, I think.
Gooch won the free kick, to be fair, mind. But, you know, but at the same time...
I mean, that's out of take.
I mean, I don't know why McManaman didn't take it. But at the same time, the point is that we've seen McGeady in games where we've been rubbish, pull something out of the bag, stick one in the top corner from distance, either foot.
QPR.
He's done
nothing, basically. It was...
Done it at Ipswich, you know. He's done it at against got us back in the game at Preston, and out of nothing, he's made something happen. And it felt as though, you know, there was 5 minutes added on. We essentially had 10 minutes of the game left. He's not dying on his backside, like, you know. Let's keep him on for 10 minutes, and just see if he does something. Yeah, just frustrating. Like, he could have taken if you wanted a bit more protection, he could have taken Honeyman off and put Gooch on the wing, moved McGeady inside, and then you've got that cover down the down the sides where the threat was coming from wide, and you've got a bit more industrious approach there, but you've left an attacking threat on the man who will get you something out of nothing.
I appreciate like Watmore had to go off because he was knackered, but when we ended the game with Vaughan, Honeyman still on the pitch, and Gooch on, and like McGeady, Watmore, and Graben have all gone off. I know we don't have much depth there, but we didn't have to take all three of them off. Like, I know Graben's only just coming back to fitness, but
that's fair enough.
It's a message it gives to the other team as well when you start doing that.
Like,
even if it's subconscious, it's a subconscious message.
Their defence felt a bit more relaxed.
You just
they?
Automatically start to think, all right, these have got the bit now. So it automatically puts them in a position to be the ones turning the screw and looking for a winner, doesn't it? I want to talk about Martin Bain, and also that question of the week we didn't get round to last week.
Oh, yeah,
so
have you got all the answers?
We extended it on. Well, it's just the favourites on the phone, isn't it? Yeah, they're all there. Look at the replies.
Shall we do a thing and then come back?
We'll do the thing and then we'll come back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, right. Martin Bain been speaking again at that fan fest thing today. What do people think about the fan fest thing? First of all,
it's not really for us,
is it?
Yeah.
But what are we?
Nice day out for the kids. Yeah. I mean, I know people like to fume over anything that the club are doing at the minute, but you know, it's half term. The kids get to watch the players train, get to take some selfies with them, and some of the stuff that I'm sure was going on.
Selfies with Mika.
Who doesn't want a selfie with Mika? We gave away a signed ball with Mika on recently. So, you know, get your Mikas in.
Yeah.
Well, Martin Bain was there anyway, and he's obviously.
Is anyone getting selfies with him?
He's obviously spoken to the usual lot, the Echo lads, Phil, and everybody. What was the term you used for this before, Gareth? It wasn't bland. What did you say? Generic. Right.
Yeah.
There's not. I would love to go through this with a highlighter and just take out loads of stuff, but there's not really. It's kind of the stuff you would expect, isn't it? It's good that he's speaking, but it's not gonna please fans or anything, is it? Basically, I look and I see the calendar. It's October. We're in October with a long way to go of the season. Yeah, with about 3 points, Martin. I spoke to Lee and John the other night, the two gentlemen with determination who don't like being where they're at. The fact we're in October, you said October about 7 times in that paragraph. The fact I've got committed people at this football club working alongside me, I'm sure we'll climb the table. Now, committed people doesn't always guarantee success, by the way. You would hope everybody was committed who was working in football. What I thought was interesting, a couple of things. He said that there's been an awful lot of changes in recent times. 15 players leaving, 10 new ones coming in, completely different coaching stuff. For any club, that's a big transition. Is that an excuse for where we are?
No, it's not.
A big transition?
There's still some good players there.
If anything, fresh coaches and new coaching ideas normally give a team a boost.
Well, the new manager bounce, what about all that?
Isn't that the whole point of changing a manager?
To try and get the instant response. I mean, see what it's obviously going to be difficult at first, but if you win games, I'm sure it helps. But they're not, and they haven't done enough, have they? Like, that's a thing. We've talked about this all the time, though, about people saying about rotten cores and all that. It shouldn't hinder, you know, a squad of 18 players being put together by a manager, getting them organised to compete in the Championship when, you know, a vast majority of that team, Oviedo, Jones, O'Shea, Corney, Cattermole, and Dong, have played the vast majority of their football in England in the Premier League.
So McManaman.
McGeady. Yeah. So these are players who played at the highest level.
A few internationals in there as well.
International football.
Representing decent countries as well.
There's no excuse for not being able to organise 11 footballers on a pitch.
And not throw away a two-goal lead. Yeah.
There's no excuse for being 23rd in the Championship.
Not with that group of players. Not at all. This is interesting as well. On giving Grayson the job, I know people think about this. I met Simon and offered him the role, and Simon was delighted to take the role. He came to the football club knowing what he had to handle because I'm a transparent guy. So, when Grayson comes in and said, we will have a budget that is going to be middle for this table, mid-table budget sort of thing, didn't he? It's not going to be the biggest, it's not going to be the weakest, it's going to be somewhere in the middle.
Was it not Bain who said that?
No, Grayson came in and said it.
Right.
So, if Bain's transparent and he's told Grayson exactly what the budget was, one of them's lying or one of them is probably not deliberately misleading the fans, but one of them's wrong somewhere.
Not going to come out as well straight away and say.
I would rather have come out and said. Unfortunately, our budget's going to be one of the lowest in the leagues. You wouldn't have rather that than say than suggest it's going to be a bigger budget and then expect nobody to kick off when it's a low budget.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, but I suppose they've got to think how it's going to look to terms of deals.
But you can't, what's the point in disguising it if the truth's going to?
I don't know.
The use of the word transparent, though. That's what I'm saying. It's not transparent, is it? But somewhere down the line.
That is never what we get, is it?
Why does he come on? I mean, I'm sure someone at the club's listening.
Is this a public appeal?
Well, we've been in touch with the club to see if he wants to do something. We'll happily do it. Come on, come into the studio. We'll tell people that he's going to be on. They can ask questions. People can ask questions on Twitter and we'll put them to him. Because every time something comes out where Bain speaks, the attitude from supporters, especially when we're losing games, is always going to be, it's been stage managed, it's been, you know, dumbed down. It's, you know, it is, like I said, it is.
We're dumbed down anyway, all the time.
Yeah. It's quite generic. You're more than welcome. Get in touch. You got my details.
That's an appeal. I feel like you should have.
That's a public sliding into the DMs, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what is. I think it'd have to be his assistant's DMs.
At Martin Transparency.
Yeah.
Transparency _ Martin.
More than welcome.
I'm almost waiting for them to respond. Check the Twitter feed. It's not going out live or anything, is it?
No, it's obviously not. No, I don't think it is anyway.
Are there any strong opinions on that, what he said?
Someone's got bootlegging equipment in here.
Is it just too generic to really have an opinion on?
Yeah.
I think that transparency thing is fascinating. Because that would be one of the things. I mean, people can fully understand why he's got to do what he's doing. He's being brought in to do that. It hurts and it's horrible. But I think it's absolutely fair to pull him or the club up on those comments, because he was also asked, wasn't he, when it was clear that Jordan Pickford was about to leave, and it was either just after he'd been sold or just before he was about to be sold, and he got asked directly. We know the club don't have funds currently, but will that £30 million be used to go back into the funds for the transfer funds to bring players in? And he said, not all of it, no. And that's how he phrased it.
We did spend £10 million on Ricky Alvarez.
I'm pretty sure we were told last season that was already counted for.
Yeah,
I'm sure we were. I think they've just shoved that one in there to say, let's make people think that that's a thing, because I'm absolutely sure they're budgeted for that.
I don't mean this in a totally cynical way, but do you think he's trying to drop transparency in there to get that perception out there that that's what Sunderland's going to be now? That's what the way he's going to run Sunderland is going to be transparent.
Not if it contradicts
what
he's come out and said,
I agree,
a few weeks before.
But if you're getting that out in the media, and if you can get that out consistently in the media as well, that will start trickling into people's minds as well. I'm not saying it's necessarily true, but he obviously does want to make Sunderland that, and just given the perception of that is probably just what he's trying to achieve there. I'm not saying I agree with it necessarily, and I do think it is maybe a bit cynical, but that does seem to be what he's trying to do.
All this goes away if we start winning games.
Oh, yeah. You don't care what the chief executive's saying if you're winning games at all.
All this goes away.
He probably wouldn't need to say anything, would he?
Yeah.
You know, it does. And the, you know, that's
I understand
why.
That. But the budget and what he spent is a different thing.
Yeah, but the people wouldn't be asking if we'd won, say, 4 or 5 games this season. Do you think
look what we've done on a small budget.
What we've done on a small budget, they'd be saying, you know, I think the players have come in and we're starting to knit and we're competing. We can get better from here. Right at the moment, we've got 1 win in 13. We're talking about going away to Brentford, who were only 4 points above in 18th position, and being happy with a point. If you're happy with a point at Brentford when you've got Bristol City and then Bolton Wanderers to come, which could be your Wigan game, Simon,
Game.
On Halloween as well. Prophetic.
We've had some terrible times on Halloween. Remember the Cardiff game when Chopra. Yeah. That was Halloween. Obviously,
oh,
the
Newcastle,
5-1. That was a Halloween. Yeah, I can't think of
looking forward to that tradition continuing then.
I'm sure it will. Next Tuesday.
Sammy Amiobi as well, so there'll be that Newcastle connection. He'll score for Bolton.
Will Buckley will probably come on and terrorise Billy Jones.
David Wheater.
Terrorise Billy Jones. He'll have like
he's a man for Halloween.
He'll have like a scream mask on or something like that as well.
Just his face.
David Wheater. I was on about Sammy Amiobi. David Wheater does not need one.
No, he does not. Does not at all.
Do we want to do some answers for the question of the week?
Yeah, go on then.
The question of last week.
The question of last week.
Question of the week.
I don't know if we could probably get tickets for the winner, couldn't we?
I don't know.
If anybody wants them. Well, the club would. If we asked,
there's plenty of tickets, to be fair, going at the minute.
I know, eh?
I don't know who you ask. I'll have to find out.
Right, well, maybe. I'll tell you what. If we decide you win and you want tickets, let us know. And we'll see if we can sort that out for you. We've got no music bed or anything. This is going to be dry, is it?
So find one on there.
Yeah.
You do your thing and I'll see if I can find a bed. There's a breaking news bed.
Breaking news bed. What about the Christmas one you had for the Christmas quiz you did for the end of
the deleted them all off. Did they?
It's like a Halloween themed one.
Oh, dad. There'll definitely be Halloween stuff on the Sun FM system.
Here we go, breaking news.
Sun FM.
Breaking news.
Is that going? Right,
yeah,
okay.
It is, yeah. Right, you haven't got the thing on.
No,
you?
I haven't got my earphones on. No, right. The question of the week for the pod was, with Sunderland's search for a home win continuing, what would you expect to see before we win again at the Stadium of Light? Some predictable answers and some obvious ones, I guess. So, have a listen, see who you think is the best, okay?
There's only 40 seconds left on the bed.
Is that where you just have to start again?
Lupus.
Right. All the pink seats return to red. That was Richard Shaw. Richard's the lad who films our stuff in London and stuff. So, David Marjoram, cryogenic freezing of living beings. Peter Stamp, Mars bar to get bigger. Trump to say, my bad, cost of a pint to go down. Has been, I haven't proofread these, you know, so we can swear on this one, it's all right. Has been, hell to freeze over, Trump impeached, Rafa to be knighted, Quinn to make a comeback, and then he says something else, which I'll not say. Colin, he's replied to that one. Alex Campbell says, hell to freeze over, another one, it's gone. Liam Waite, this is a niche one for a Sunderland fan, you need to be a proper Sunderland fan to get this one. Phase 3 of the Cup final tickets. That's Liam Waite. Championship plan, Fred Orr's to reach £1. There's a lot of stuff looking at confectionery the size of them going down and the price of them going up.
It's the real concern, isn't it?
Graham Wanacott, Lord Lucan riding red rum naked across a pitch while getting a reach around. All right, okay.
Off the hops.
No.
Am I going to have to mark that as explicit?
Who's that person there? I don't know if it's... I don't want to offend anybody. Do you know who that is? Getting a reach around off.
Give us a look.
Nana Mascari, no? She's like a
just because if it was somebody who was a sexual predator or something, I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it in case I offended anybody.
Fred West,
That Walker's campaign.
Kevin Armstrong, the three horsemen of the apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
Peter Wilson, White Christmas. David Callahan, the birth of my first grandchild. My child is only 8 months old. Malcolm Thorpe, Christmas. I won't build your hopes up. Tony Pottinger with a sensible one. McManaman and Williams in the team.
Probably won't be.
Will, the club sold. DG, the mags state that SAFC is their second team to follow. Yeah, I don't think that will happen either. Jonathan Roberts, I'm 30 on November the 23rd. I would like to think we could get one more before the end of my 20s.
How many games have we got before then?
Probably two. Because there's an international break, isn't there?
Millwall on the 18th.
Yeah, ooh, maybe.
So three.
Maybe. More empty seats, says Ian. Anthony Morrow, the carrier bag tax to eliminate any rubbish blowing around the pitch.
Don't Green see that D much anymore,
Jack Rodwell to play a full game.
By the way, it doesn't say Jack Rodwell. It says Jack Roswell, which is the greatest of all the autocorrects.
Paul McFlaw, another one saying a moon landing. Another Jack Rodwell thing. Him to be released and retire from football, then join Dion Dublin presenting Holmes under the hammer.
Rodwell.
And Matthew, Jack O, 1989, another football and one, another logical one. Grayson sacked. Any that stand out?
The last
one's just Brexit.
So we'd have to go 18 months.
I think it's a toss-up between those two, I think.
Well, Brexit.
The first
three
ones
quite good. Yeah,
that's the one I would go for.
Pick it then.
Yeah.
Then. Do that then.
Liam Waite, if you are listening, because we've given these away before and haven't had anybody come back to us. I think they're just like the Twitter banter. They'll probably hate the show. Liam Waite, if you want tickets for the next game, let us know as soon as you can, because we'll have to ask the club. I'm sure they'll give us some. I don't know if you go, we will. Yeah, they will. It's fine. Why would they not give us
promises? Why would
they give us them in the Premier League? They're not going to not give us them when there's 20,000 people there.
Stop giving them away, haven't they? Hence the $25.
I'll tell you what they can do. Martin Bain can give us the tickets and come on the
show. Hand deliver
the tickets.
On a little pillow, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of things as well. Obviously, speaking of tickets, this weekend, the club are doing a canny little offer there. You can get up to two tickets for £1 for your under 16. So if you've got a child and he's been naughty this week.
Or she. Equal Opportunities podcast.
Did I say he, didn't I?
It is, yeah.
It's terrible, that, isn't it? Sexist man, very sexist.
You said that very sexist.
Very sexist.
Like, looks at me really weird.
Weird
as well.
That, like,
in the words of Nigel Tufnell, what's wrong with being sexy?
Mm. But anyway, this isn't a good plug.
Yeah, so you get yourself along to the game if you take your little ones to the match and punish them. Why should they have to?
Punish
why should
Halloween.
They be happy on a Saturday night? You know. That's my.
When they ask you what you're doing for Halloween, say taking the football
take
like,
the match.
Actually, playing ball on actual Halloween.
So it's Bristol City. Yeah, you can get the party started.
It's a pre Halloween party.
Yeah. What else?
Plug the Peacock, Rory.
Rory and Mickey are doing it this week because me and Stephen are away. It's Gordon Armstrong's on again, so get yourself down there.
Get to see me. Buy a pint if you want. Yeah, see me struggle setting up the.
Yeah. Yes, it's
a mixing desk.
Yeah,
and then buys a pint because you feel sorry for us.
Yeah, I can't wait.
What you need to do, Rory, just for your backup and plan B, just write loads of questions down, a pretender from people, and have them ready to to just
don't
roll
give
out.
It away on air.
Why are you much better than the other two people who are usually here? So Rory's going to be doing that. And thanks to John Oster again. Did we get a chance to thank him?
We did.
So we've got.
Come down because we really appreciate you coming down, and it has been really received by everybody. And Gordon has been on, but he was very popular when he was on.
And the 18th as well, before the Millwall game, we will be joined by Stephen Elliott. So that should be
very good, a
belter.
I have to work that day. I'm disappointed I'm going to miss it. So someone has to come in my place.
The doors upstairs open around 12:30.
Yeah.
It's normally after 1 o'clock when we get started. But
don't go and watch the Sky game, which I've looked at and it's quite appealing. Don't go and watch the North London derby.
Is that what it is on the 18th?
Yeah.
It's conspiracy by the Premier League.
Actually, to be fair, I think it might be in a really early kickoff. I don't know. But anyway, don't go. That's rubbish.
It hasn't had the impact it could have had. We've still had people come and it's been great.
The people who've got their fingers burned by the Liverpool-Man United game are all crawling back now.
Exactly.
Exactly good. Is there anything else that we've got to do?
No.
I feel like I've missed something. Going to a gig tonight, me.
Are you?
Not going for tea.
There'll be food involved with you somewhere.
Definitely will.
Full from me tea last
there'll
night.
There'll be food involved from
Stop
you.
Stop talking
somewhere.
About your tea last night.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.